out back. And, you know, as we turn around and start talking about the Lord and what He is for us. And this morning, you're going through, and I feel that need to have a Mother's Day message. And I always, it's one of those ones that, you know, Father's Day, I have no problem talking with fathers. I have a little experience in that. I don't have much experience being a mom. And I was like, you know, it's kind of pretentious for, you know, a guy to tell a mom what they have to do. So typically, a lot of times, it comes down to either go to the Proverbs 31, which is almost giving a mom's a guilt trip. You look at the ultimate mom, the perfect mom, and you look at that. On the other side of that is that, you know, of telling you how to do your job, if you will. And once again, I'm not comfortable doing that. So this morning what I'm going to do is actually pick up on the idea of mothers, but look at it slightly different. That here, grab your Bibles, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, and just 7 verses. And this is Elisha who is going through. The Bible talks about Elijah and talks about Elisha. The simple way to keep them straight is that Elijah, J, comes before S. So Elijah comes first, then Elisha comes after him. All right? This is how I got through Bible school. You know, remember all these little things. So Elijah and then Elisha. And Elijah is sort of this bold guy. And he's the one we see him battling the prophets of the false prophets. And he sees them so boisterous and all this. Elijah, the miracles and stuff he does is really personal. In this case, he turns around and comes across a widow. And this widow pours out her heart to Elisha. And as we go through the text, we're going to unfold here. We see the desperate need that she has. And she comes to him truly as a mother would, not for herself, but for those around her. And Elijah listens, and through him, meets her needs. And in here, hopefully the title, Empty Vessels, will make sense. But in chapter 4, verse 1, it starts off this way. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditors is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. This woman was in dire need. There's a big situation. Her husband has passed away. And in here, I just reflect back. She goes, look, my husband was one of the sons of the prophets. There was kind of like a Bible school, if you will, a Bible college of that time. And they were training men to be prophets. So yeah, the school of the prophets is as they're ministering to, they would leave everything else and go and become part of this thing. And in the process of this, he died. He died. And in here, leaves his family in dire straits. So much so that, look, she goes down through and she ends up selling all she has. The creditors are coming. She has no way to pay it. Right? The need is not only just there, but it's one of these pressing needs. And it was custom of that day that her sons could be sold to pay the debt into slavery. Now the situation is really dire here. In here, she turns around and she first of all has to admit her need. If you want to come before, we see the Lord work in our lives. In here, we gotta be like this widow, that here we need that request. Lord, there's a need. What is your need this morning? Right? What is it that brings you to the throne of grace this morning? You know, there's a lot of people who go on through life thinking everything's okay, everything's fine, everything's perfect. I'll take care of it myself, right? We're tough, we're Mainers, we pull ourselves by the bootstraps. I don't need anyone. But until we admit that need, oftentimes it will never be met. And in this case, she comes up, her need is evident. Her need is pressing, right? What am I going to do? You know, the creditors are coming, like, now. And I'm sure she went through the process of trying to take care of things herself, right? You know, probably sold all that she had. She tried maybe get a job doing something else, right? She's come to all these things, and yeah, all those things have come to naught. Have you ever been in that place? You know, you're kind of like, I'll take care of this. And you work and you work and you plan and you scheme. And what? It's not enough. I always find it interesting that oftentimes the last place I come to is God. Right? I try everything else first. And then oftentimes we come to God when we get to what? The end of our rope. And God's kind of like, you know, what took you so long? You know, I wish you would have called me sooner instead of later. And sometimes God's the last place we turn to when he should be, what, the first? I'm glad none of you have that problem. That's just me. Second thing, we look at this idea of we want God to work in our lives, to meet the needs in our lives, to fill the vessels, if you will, in our lives, is this idea here that, look, are we asking for ourselves or for others? Right? Because sometimes we admit our need, yeah, and we get confused because sometimes we have needs and wants kind of confused. Right? Yeah, you know, it struck me how things have changed. You know, we go into the schools and we do the Good News Club and we work with kids. And, you know, you bring candy. Now, I remember as I was a kid, candy was like magical. I would do anything for candy, right? Because we didn't get a lot of it, right? And I remember offering a prize up for a kid and, you know, said, look, if you do this, then I'll bribe you with candy. And I was like, oh, well, here you go. And he looked at it and goes, oh, I don't like that kind. Right? He goes, I'll just go home and I have candy at home. I don't need that. Well, things have changed. Yeah, because I was a kid. I don't remember not liking any kind of candy. It didn't matter what it was. I took it. Right? Because we didn't have it. And sometimes because we have so much, we have so much abundance, we really get confused over what I need versus what I want. Right? I remember as a kid, we just had Easter. And I remember going through the Easter candy, and the world's worst thing are the little black jelly beans. Does anyone here like those? I'll pray for you. Because all they can think of, that's what the Easter bunny left behind as he was leaving the, you know, as I went down the trail. It's like, ugh. Right? And as a kid, we go through the, you know, and go through the bag. And someone said that actually they sell bags of only the black ones. Yeah, anyways. There's not enough hot sauce that would make that taste good. Anyways, but you turn around and, you know, and so you eat all the jelly beans and be down to the last black ones. And we would still eat them. Right? Because that was the end of the candy. Wants and needs. And this widow comes up. And notice what she says. She comes up, Lord, my husband had died. Here she is. She's a widow. Here she is trying to take care of all these things. And over the years, I've met a lot of widows who, especially after their husbands died, and are trying to pick up all the pieces and trying to figure out and scramble. And sometimes they're not involved with the banking, or maybe they're not involved in everything, and come to find out all that comes in, all the responsibilities. And here she's got these children that she's trying to take care of, and she's afraid they're going to be taken because of the debt is so great, right? She's not asking for herself. She's in desperation doing what a mom does. What? My children. My children are on the line. Right? She's got a want. And it's not a selfish want. It's not for herself. You know, she's like, well, you know, Elisha, I could really use something, you know, because, you know, Palestine is really nice this time of year, and I like to go down and go soak down in the Red Sea and, you know, do a day spa and take care of all that, right? No, this is my children. My children are on the line. Help me, please. We also see in this verse, he turns around. He says, is there room for God to work? Is there room for God to work? And what I mean by that is sometimes what happens is I have my plan and I have my scheme. Right? And sometimes as I approach God, what I do is I come to God and say, God, here's my plan. Right? I'll just work a little extra time. I'll just figure this out. I'll sell this and I'll move this around. Here's my plan. And God, I can't really make this happen. So God, here's my plan. I just want you to sign off on my plan. Right? And what we do is we come to God and say, here's my box. This is how I want you to solve it. This is how I think you should solve it. And we limit ourselves to what God can do. And she comes to them, and she doesn't have a plan. Right? I'm guessing she has gone through all the plans that she could. She's got nothing else. We're going to see just in a minute. You know, yes, what do you have? She doesn't have anything. But as we come to God, yield to him, say, God, you know what? I will do what you want me to do, no matter what it is. You know what? Maybe my plan isn't the best plan, because guess what? My plan probably got me into this place to begin with. You know, I say not to get political, but I always think it's funny that we send people down to Augusta, Washington, who get themselves into messes, and then they're the people who think they're going to solve it. Right? So in here, is there room for God to work? Truly, I say, God, you do this thing, you take care of it, and we'll let you do what you do, and God, I'm willing to do and come along and follow you. Jeremiah turns around and says this. He says, when you call upon me and go and pray to me, I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That God hears us. When we will call to him, he will hear us. That's a comforting thing. You know, the widow turns around and he comes to Elisha and he doesn't just send her away. I'm too busy, I'm too, right? He says, come. God does that to us. And God will hear us and he will answer us. And I like how this verse ends here, because if we search for him with all our hearts, you know, when God says, hey, trust me, he doesn't want you to do it half-heartedly. Right? God wants us to jump into his arms full-blown. And my oldest was a lot littler. We used to have this big thing where she's like, Dad, catch me, and she would jump off things. And I was a lot younger then. Right? And it's like, no matter where we were, somewhere she'd climb up on a rock and said, I'd turn around, Dad, catch me. And she'd just throw herself walking down the stairs. I get down the mountain stairs, Dad, catch me. Right? Now, she had full confidence that I was always going to catch her. But can I be really honest for something? There's a lot of times when she would jump and I wasn't even ready for it. Right? Hey, Dad, catch me! You know, it's like I'm scrambling, trying to get a hold of her and keep her safe. But what I admired was her total trust that Dad was always going to catch her. Right? She didn't jump halfway. She didn't hesitate. She just flung herself off whatever. That's the picture I always have in my mind. Lord, as I jump into your arms, if I say, God, catch me. God, here we go. God doesn't want us to hedge our bets. Right? You know, God's like, okay, come on. And we're like, well, okay, I'll kind of stretch it out there, right? No. With all our hearts, seek him. As the story progresses down through, it says, so Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Really, to boil it down, he answers two questions, right? He turns around and says, look, what do you want? And then what do you have? Right? What do you want from me? Well, get me out of the situation. And what do you have? And I like how she says this. She says to her maidservant, I have nothing in the house except for just this little bit of oil. Now, that day and age, oil was a very valuable thing. They used it for not just for cooking, but they used it for medicine. They used it for selling, for bartering. It was used for burials. It was used for cosmetic reasons. It was a very valuable thing. But the text here, and goes in here, she says nothing but a jar. And the jar, the term that's used here, is just almost like a small little flask. She only had a little bit. Not enough. It's not significant. But that's all I have. Take inventory of our lives. She turns around and says, look, admit what we don't have. Admit our weakness. Right, once again, that kind of rubs against us. It's hard for us sometimes to do that. But realize how fragile we are, how empty we are, and how dependent we are on God. The Bible says God resists the proud. But gives grace to the humble. Some of the biggest things that keep me from God's blessing is me. But when I come to him, Lord, I am empty. I don't have anything. Right? Because sometimes we're like, well, God, you're so lucky to have me. Yeah, right. Oh, God, I'm so talented, and I'm so this, and I'm so that. This church is so glad to have. The Bible says that in our weakness, he's made what? Strong. It's when we come to him empty, when we come to him with nothing, that he can work. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the excellence and the power of God may be of God and not of us. Paul uses this illustration. He goes, look, guys, we're just clay pots. Right? That's all I am. I'm just a clay pot. And some days I'm probably just a cracked pot. Right? But the value isn't in the pot, it's what's in it. And when we have God in our lives and we got him working in us and us being just those vessels to be used of God, then we find value and we're used by him. Second thing is, look, turn around and offer what we do have. Right? You say, okay, God, I don't have much, but this is what I have. Right? That's what Widow did. She turned around and she goes, I don't have anything, right? I have nothing of value. All there is this little bit of oil. And Elijah says, okay, that's it. God will use what little we have. Because little becomes much when it's placed into the master's hand. Right? Jesus was gathered around with 5,000. Jesus told the disciples, you go feed them. How am I going to do that? So he went around and gathered up and said, look, all we found was this little boy, and he brought his lunch. He's got some fish, he's got some milk, but they ain't going to go far. Jesus says, okay, you bring it here. And God blessed it and fed everyone. A very similar situation as we have here. If we come humbly before God and say, God, this is what I can do. You know, over the years, I've talked with people and said, well, you know, I'm too old to be used by God. I'm too sick. I'm too whatever. All these things that, you know, people use as excuses that God can't use me. And I have one simple thing back. I said, look, God's not done with you yet because you're still here. If God was done with you, he'd take you home. And maybe you can't do what you used to do, but you can do something. Right? And that little something becomes very powerful when it's given to God. But we got to be willing to offer what we have. Because sometimes we hold back. Sometimes we, God, you know, I'll give you some. Right? I'll give you a little bit. This part I want to keep back to myself. God won't bless you. Or he'll hold back the full power of his blessing. Right? Give it all to God. Surrender it all. Say, God, it's all on the table. Use it. Verse 3 goes on. We go into the idea of obedience. It says, then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you had come in, you should shut the door behind you and your sons and pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind him and her sons, and he brought the vessels to her and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Right, this is where the magic happens. This is kind of where God starts blessing because they are obedient. She turns on and says, look, okay, here's the deal. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go around to all your neighbors and ask for jars. Get some vessels. Gather them up. Don't get a few. Keep going, right? Go out and gather all you can. And then I want you to take that little bit of oil and start pouring them into all the different vessels. Now, this sounds like a crazy plan, right? And sometimes what God asks us to do can seem kind of crazy. God, how is this going to work? That's not how things are done. But if you look at God's blessing, as we ask God to work, the first thing is, what's the source of our blessing? You got to remember that. Because in the flesh, my idea is, look, go around and talk to everyone and ask your neighbors for full vessels of oil, right? Well, go out and ask for stuff that's going to help you out. Why ask for empty things, right? I like full plates. You know, full plates of cookies, full pan of bread. I'm just throwing out hints here, right? Wait a minute, why do I want empty things? Folks, God is the one who's going to work. And sometimes what we do is we play the kind of game, you know, we'll say, well, pray for me because, well, you know, boy, cookies would be really good, right? I throw out the hint and I'm hoping that cookies will show up. Not from God, but from you, right? And sometimes we couch things that way. You know, if we've been in church long enough, we can kind of be a spiritual, we'll pray for our prayer requests. And what we're really doing, we're not really praying to God. We're just praying for those around us that they'll meet our need for us. You know, we had a missions trip years ago. We were down in Ecuador. And we had a prayer meeting service. And the church was much smaller than this building, and it was packed full. There's 100-some people packed in this prayer meeting. And I was like, wow, what difference it is in America. And I told the missionary, I said, wow, how encouraging is it to have this many people show up for prayer meeting? And they were asking for prayer, and just about every single one was a need for money and food and all these other things. And afterwards, the pastor's like, look, no, these people don't show up until the gringo shows up, until the Americans come down, because they figure you guys have money. He goes, they're here not asking God, but they're down here hoping that the Americans will hear it and fork over the money, right? Where does the source of our blessing come from? Is it from God? Right? He tells her to go out and gather up all these empty vessels. Why? Because God's going to do the work. Wasn't a scheme to go from your neighbors and gather up all the things and get all the materials, that in all of that, then you'll have enough. Go out and get empty vessels. Because God is the source of our blessings. Become reliant upon Him. Become dependent on Him. The second thing in this part here, he says, look, go gather up, gather not just a few. And I love this scene because, like I said, I'm pretty visual. So I just picture them going out, and they have probably a room full of jars and jugs and vases and anything they can find that can hold oil, right? So picture them in their living room, all this stuff piled up all over the place, and then they start pouring. And you got this little flask, and they start pouring up, blub, 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 blub. Next thing it's full. Oh, it's got another one. Blub, 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 right? So eventually, every single vessel that's in the room is now full, and she goes, okay, I need one more. There is no more. And what happened to the oil? It stopped. Can I tell you something? God's blessing is often dependent on our level of obedience. Let me ask you something. If they would have had, went out and said, okay, go out and get some jars. At that point, most of these jars are probably big clay pots. They're kind of heavy, right? So you go to two or three houses, and this is worthless, and this is kind of stupid, and I'm going to carry this in. And so I end up with five pots of oil, right? Five empty pots, and I'm like, I'm done with this. Okay, let's get on with this. If they only got five pots, guess how many pots he would have filled? Five. Well, what happened when those five were filled? The oil would have stopped. Let me ask you, what if they would have had five more pots of oil, or five more pots? Right? What if we went out and said, hey, look, we got five more here. What do you think would have happened to the oil? It would have kept going. God's blessing is often tied to the degree of obedience that we have. And what happens sometimes in our lives is we get excited and we say, okay, God, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to see you work. And we jump on that bandwagon, we are obedient, we do what he says. And then when things start falling into place, I stop. Right? Because I would dare say probably most of us, there's been times in our lives when we've walked close to the Lord, we've seen him bless, and then we're like, oh, wow, look at all the blessings, and we stop obeying. We step away. We stop going to church. We stop reading our Bible. We stop praying, right? Because things are going good, so I back off. Well, guess what happens to the blessings? They get cut off. That often, the level of blessings is tied to the degree of our obedience. And he said to her, is there not another vessel? So the oil ceased, and she came and told the man of God and said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons live on the rest. Right? Now they have all this oil. She's pretty excited now. She goes, so you go running up to Elisha and says, hey, guy, wow, look what happened. He says, all right, now go sell it. And look how much is here. Not only do you pay off the debt, but God's going to provide enough that you can live off this. Let me guarantee you, God's ability is always greater than your need. Right? There is nothing that God cannot do. God can meet your need. no matter what it is. God's power is not running out. There's no shortage of what he can do. And here, this widow, the oil exceeded everything that she needed. God's ability is always greater than your needs. The value isn't the value of the vessel, but what is in it. Right? We're just clay pots. But when God is in it, then we get value. You know, the big thing now is we pump our kids full of self-esteem. We tell them they're the best. We tell them they're wonderful. They're all these things. We boost them up. And our kids, more so than ever, suicide rates, drugs addictions, hopelessness, depressions, all these things have increased. It's not a matter of my self-worth. If I go down through and I realize who I am in Christ, of who I am in God, I get my value from him and what he's going to do. And then I'm part of him, and I belong to him, and all these things. Folks, it just increases the blessing that we can have from him. The last point comes down through, and this is so important. Use what God has given you. Use what God has given you, not just stored it up. You know, so many of us have been blessed beyond measure. Most of us have more stuff than we need, right? I can't help but think as a nation, we have so much stuff, we have to rent buildings to keep our extra stuff in, right? We have more stuff than we ever need. I know my children have more stuff than I had growing up. And yet what happens is I don't say it's God's, I say it's mine. I'm very selfish with the blessings that God has given me. In our lives, as God gives us and God provides for us. You know, maybe your request is like, you know, Lord, there's some financial situations. Well, maybe God says, you know what, maybe I've given you, you just need to use it more wisely. Right? Maybe I don't need the latest iPhone. Maybe I should be paying my heat bill. Right? God said, I've provided for you. Are you using it wisely? With our gifts and talents and abilities, Lord, am I using this for you? Am I serving this for you? Right? How are you serving the Lord with what God has given you? Or are you using it for yourself? You know? I mean, using the gifts that God has given me to make myself richer, more popular, more successful? Or am I using it for God? And, you know, this widow could say, look at all this oil I got. Woohoo! I'm going to hide it away. He said, no, take it, sell it, pay your debt, take care of the need. God, help me be aware of what you're giving me so I can use it for the furtherance of what you want me to do. Empty vessels. That God used this widow and her desperation for her sons. Show us an example of what God can do and how God can fill our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning, Lord. If you think of the needs that we have, and sometimes, Lord, the struggle is so great, and we come to you, Lord, as empty vessels. Lord, we ask you to work. We ask you to bless. We ask you to work in our lives in a very real way. But Lord, help us to be obedient to you. And Lord, I believe that you will meet those needs and give us more than we ever need as we are obedient to you, as we are faithful to you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.